Lydia.
Now, Lydia is only mentioned twice in the Bible, and of course that's in Acts 16, which is a little bit earlier than Priscilla. In Acts 16, 13 to 15, and also Acts 16, verse 40. And first of all, before I begin, let me say that I wish that Brother Andy Oistrich could be here and Sister Darlene. We had much fellowship with them in Red Deer, Alberta a few weeks ago, please remember Brother Andy in prayer. He's going to have surgery this week. It isn't a surgery that's going to take his life by any means or anything to that extent, but it's serious enough. So please have him in prayer, and Sister Darlene as well. We're going to read from Acts 16 from the New American Standard, starting with verse 13 to 15. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside. At that time, there were evidently no synagogues there in Philippi. This is going to take, you'll hear me talk about Philippi in a moment. We went outside the gate to the riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. Now, this is Paul and Silas. Now, they had come because God had told Brother Paul to go into Macedonia, and he did so. And because of that, of course, he had a lot of problems there in Philippi. But he went there, and he wanted to go where there was a place of prayer, and he knew that there would be some women at the riverside where he could have this prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. Now a certain woman by the name of Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken of by Paul. Now when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And so she prevailed upon us, and Paul and Silas did just that. Then in verse 40, later on, after Paul and Silas had been beaten and put into prison and finally released, they went back, and it says, they went out of prison and entered into the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them, and then they departed. Now, this, we believe, Lydia was the first of Paul's first European convert. She was a Jewish proselyte, although she was a Gentile. She lived in Thyatira, a city in Asia Minor. It was one of many of the Macedonian colonies that were established there. And there the waters of Thyatira were said to be well adapted for dyeing. And in no place can the scarlet cloth out of fezes which are made be so brilliantly or permanently dyed as here. Now, when we're introduced to Lydia, although she was from the city of Thyatira, she was now living in the Roman colony of Philippi. We find that she was a seller of purple fabrics, that is, purple dyed cloth. The word purple says that these garments were dyed from two sources. The big source was the reddish blue color, and we find that there was other thoughts that this dye was also made from the shellfish, but by another inferior method, dyed from a different way of making the dye, that is. Now, many of the dyes were made from vegetable sources, we find, or from shellfish, so that the quality of control would be very difficult, really. The completed colors were impure and were inexact. These problems were compounded by the fact that many of these dyes were closely guarded family recipes, which were sometimes lost or changed. Now, the most precious of ancient dyes was this purple dye. The dye was, we're going to give you the expensive dye. It was made from a shellfish found in the Mediterranean Sea. And it took a total of 250,000 moloks, it says, what a moloch is, I'm not too sure, to make 1 ounce of this purple dye, which probably accounts for its great price, because purple was highly valued within the nation of Israel. Purple was the color of royal robes, as we find in Judges 8 and 26. As well as the garments of the wealthy, Proverbs 31:22 and Luke 16, verse 19. Purple was highly sought during the Maccabean period, and in New Testament times, it was an important item of trade. This is where Lydia comes in as a seller of purple garments. Now, it says that she was a seller of purple goods, and her hometown of Thyatira was in what they call a province, that is, of Lydia, from which no doubt she took her name. This town is located in western Turkey. The city was famous as a trade center for indigo and many other dyes. Now, as a dealer in purple goods, Lydia learned the trade in her hometown. The goods would have been almost exclusively of this purple dyed cloth. Now, Lydia seems to be a very prosperous woman. She had a decent-sized house, we find, and a household. No husband is mentioned. Perhaps she was a widow with children. Or she could even be a single woman with employees or slaves, since she appears to be in charge of her household. You know, a married woman would have needed her husband's consent to invite men to stay at her home. This is why either her husband was dead or she had no husband. It doesn't tell us in the scriptures that I know of. The Apostle Paul and Silas, we find, had really struck pay dirt when they met her. She was thirsting for God, and she was ready to give her life to Him. For her to meet important disciples who could teach her and baptize her, telling her the good news about Christ, would have been a very momentous occasion. By this time, the Council of Jerusalem had decreed that Gentiles could be full members of this new religion. She no longer had to live as an outsider to her chosen religion. Lydia was a very, very devout woman, we find, and a very smart business woman as well. It says she was not slothful in business, as we read, but fervent in spirit, from Romans 12:11. Now, this applied, we believe, directly to Lydia, as it should apply to all of God's children. Lydia worshiped God, we are told, and you know that oftentimes businesswomen are so engrossed, not just women, but business people in their entirety probably, are so engrossed in their affairs as to have no time for religion of any type. Lydia, in spite of all of her secular obligations, she found time to worship. And when she was living at this time in Philippi, we know that she knew where the women were praying on the Sabbath day, and that's where she went down to pray with them. She found time to worship. Daily she made her way to the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and she knew that to be successful in her business, she had to meet the stiff competition of the Philippian traders. She needed all of the grace that she would find down there with these women in prayer. Lydia, we find, had a very deep hunger for a spiritual experience. And as she attended the truth of Christ that Paul spoke of, the light dawned upon her. And her heart was open to receive Christ as her Savior. Her faith was born through hearing the Word of God. Psalms 130, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Out of the depths I have cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." And then verses 5 and 6, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Yes, my soul waits for the Lord more than they which watch for the morning." And I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And then in Luke 24:45 we read, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Well, this is what happened to Lydia. When she heard Paul's words, yes, this opened her eyes. And as an evidence of her surrender to the claims of Christ, she was baptized. The waters of Philippi were there being sacramentally used to seal her faith and God's forgiveness in Christ. We feel that her conversion was declared, no doubt, by public confession. And such was her enthusiasm that she immediately told her household what had happened, and all that were within her household likewise believed and were baptized as disciples of this same Savior. Thus it was that Lydia had the honor of being Paul's first European convert, the forerunner of a mighty host to honor the Lord. Becoming a Christian did not make her less of a successful businesswoman. No. Lydia's transformation of life was evidenced by her eagerness, though, even though as a businesswoman, to give missionaries the hospitality of her home. She wanted to do something for the Lord already. And after she was baptized, this she followed through on. The truth in her heart was manifested in the kindness to all that she came in contact with. And we read in Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind one to another." First came Lydia's faith, then the winning of her family to Christ, then her love in gracious hospitality. We find this also with Priscilla, didn't we? We could see the same thing as now with here with Lydia. Finally, her reception of Paul and Silas into her home after their discharge from prison. Because you would have thought that she might be afraid to give or open her home. But no, she didn't. She was not ashamed of the Lord's prisoners. And we see 1 Timothy 5:10, Hebrews 13:2, and 1 Peter 4:9. Now we can see how Lydia exemplified her faith, her love, and her honor to Almighty God. Her hospitality and her service to God should be well taken into consideration by all of us. How well, we can ask, do we do along these lines?